trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
So I don't know how many of you are church calendar folks, but we have a highlight in the church calendar. 7 weeks after Easter, or roughly 50 days, the church celebrates Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost is that famous day when God fulfilled Jesus' promise to his followers and sent an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that baptized those 120 believers that were in the upper room, united in prayer, hungering for more of God in their life, ultimately empowering them to be witnesses like Jesus, representatives of Jesus to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and ultimately the ends of the earth. And I want to honor that incredibly important day in our church history and the church calendar and God's work with just the simple message of let's be ever hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. Before we get into the text of this morning, I want to take us back a little bit into some of the words of Jesus, who said some wonderful things that should really whet our appetite and increase our appetite for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said a number of things through his time on earth. And we got to remember again at that time, and if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard of the Holy Spirit and hopefully encountered the Holy Spirit, but it's not a new idea for most of us that, oh, God's presence is with us in the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is talking about this in a way that's shocking. It's new. It's part of the new covenant blessing that humanity had never experienced before. So I want to encourage us just to hear a few of these phrases of Jesus and let it soak on us as if we were hearing it for the first time. Jesus said in John 14:16, that he's going to ask the Father and that he would give us a paraclete, a helper, or an advocate, a comforter, to be with you forever. And that right there is to be with you forever. That's just brand new. This idea that the presence of God would be in us, upon us, and around us, be with us forever. That was this new covenant thing. This is a brand new way that Jesus is saying God is going to operate and relate with humanity. And he goes on to explain a little more in 14:26, but the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So we see that this presence of God with us is going to bring revelation. He's going to teach us, and this isn't just intellectual information that he's talking about that we are going to be taught. This is the idea of the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us, is going to bring us revelation of who God is, so that the truth of who God is that we find in God's Word, that's always been there in God's Word, God's presence in his Spirit is now going to be there in a way to truly open the eyes of our heart, as Psalm 119 says. Because there's a difference, and we all know it, right? About knowing about God and knowing God. And so Jesus is saying, man, I am excited because I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he is going to reveal on an ongoing basis who God is so that you actually know God. That's incredible. And one more in John, he says in 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. So a couple aspects of that is just awesome, how the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. I mean, Jesus is kind of speaking of prophecy and prophetic words that are going to be normal, where God's going to reveal things to come that are part of his will and his plan. But my favorite part about this is where he says, whatever he hears, this is interesting. Check it out. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying, whatever he hears, the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak. It's not on his own authority. So he's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in isolation from God the Father. There's this connection, there's this intimate connection to where what the Holy Spirit hears the Father saying, that's what he speaks to us. So I love to break it down like this, that Holy Spirit is that direct connection with the heart of the Father. Do you want to know what's on the Father's heart? I mean, what a privilege. This is the stuff that's like, we can't let this get old. We can't let this just familiarity breed a lack of appreciation and gratitude and wonder. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to be that direct connection to the heart of the Father where you have access to the Father. You have access to God. And what he hears God doing and saying, he's going to deliver that right to you. Wow. How beautiful is that? I like to say it like this. We don't have to live as orphans anymore. The Holy Spirit is promised so that we can be directly connected to the heart of the Father, and we are, and he's going to be with us forever, so we are not left as orphans. Actually, not my phrase at all. Jesus said that I will not leave you as orphans. And isn't that easy to live in that orphan mindset out in the world where we feel like we're just abandoned? Who's with us? We're kind of lost. We're alone. Who's going to guide us? Who's going to comfort us? Who's going to be that power source? And Jesus is hitting all those core questions that humans have, saying, I will not let you be left as orphans. You don't have to live in that orphan mindset of nobody's got my back. I'm out here alone. I've been abandoned. He says, no, the Holy Spirit is going to connect you with the heart of the Father for all time and speak to you God's heart directly. Love it. And then lastly, he says in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses, or my ambassadors, my representatives in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So there's a promise of power. This is one of those places where Jesus makes clear, as he said in other places as well, but if you believe in me, Jesus says, you will do the very works that I do. And how can we have a confidence to actually trust that? That little old me, little old you, little old us could do miracles, do things like Jesus did. Right here, you will receive power to be his witnesses. That's not just simply to share good news of who he is, although that's a huge part of it. You will receive power to represent me in all the earth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us to empower us to actually do the ministry that Jesus did in the world. Wow. And that shouldn't scare us to where we say, oh, that's too big. I could never even approach that kind of life. That's our normal response, but my encouragement this morning is let this just stir the appetite that we might be ever hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. If I may kind of summarize a little bit in a personal way from my own experience in life with the Holy Spirit, I would say a way that helps me think of what is God doing in the Holy Spirit. I like to think of it as that conduit. You know, conduit is that source that carries power from one place to another. And at least for me, in my mind, just a simple way to think about it is the Holy Spirit is that supernatural, above normal, above what we can do in our own strength. It's the supernatural connection with us in the heart of God. It's the conduit from heaven to earth. It's the supernatural presence of Almighty God in us, with us, upon us, around us. It's amazing. It is that active, living, supernatural power of God that breaks in to everyday life. And it'll change your life forever. He will. This whole idea of walking with the Holy Spirit and expecting Him to do supernatural things, I'll say from my own experience, that's not my background at all. I did not grow up with this worldview or this expectation, this understanding, and certainly not the experience that God's presence wants to be with us in the Holy Spirit in such a way that we live a supernatural life. That was foreign. That was weird. If you had said that to me, I would think you were kind of bonkers. But in experiencing the Holy Spirit, my own testimony is like the Holy Spirit was that missing link of the Trinity. Where sure, you know, I would pass a theological test to say, did I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? They're all equally God. Yes. The mysterious of three in one. Yes. But functionally, the Holy Spirit was like a missing link. Just kind of, I don't know, he's just kind of out there. It's really, you know, the Father, Jesus. No practical experience with the Holy Spirit. But in my own experience, and I would encourage us and challenge us with that hunger, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes is Christianity moves from a set of beliefs, a set of doctrines that can be kind of abstract and out there, to a actual living, vibrant, supernatural relationship with God. Much of Christianity, if we're not careful, can be done and practiced and believed on our own strength. But when the Holy Spirit's present, that's just not possible. The Holy Spirit does something it's an undeniable supernatural reality present that validates all those beliefs and the doctrines, but it validates Christianity not as simply a religion, but a true relationship with the living God. To the point where, you know, if people talk about faith and belief, part of me, if you know, have conversations with people who are not yet believers or kind of talking about God, you know, I find out I'm a pastor, they want to talk about God, which is great, but it's interesting because they talk about like faith. Well, how do you know God exists? How can you trust that Jesus is real? How do you know that you're not just kind of imagining, you know, he's your imaginary friend out there? And, you know, it's kind of the common response is, well, there's a faith. But it's so interesting because the Holy Spirit has become so real, like, I can't even find myself talking in that language. It's not even a faith anymore. In a sense of like, faith is that, you know, that trust for the unseen. Now, there are things that I have to have faith in life for, these promises of God, the promises of more, the promises of a radical heaven on earth. So there's some faith for that. But to believe God's real, that's not even faith anymore. Like, it's strange. It's like that. I don't even connect with that. It's so real, it's undeniable. Like, Jesus has made himself undeniably manifest in just undeniable ways that it's like, it's not even hard to believe at all. I would be a fool not to. Like, he's made himself as real as anyone else in the room. And that's the kind of stuff where he wants to experience us and encounter us in a way where there is an undeniable, living, vibrant, personal, powerful relationship that each of us have with him. Where it's like, it's not even questionable. He's alive. He's real. He's personal. He's powerful. He's good. And I don't just believe that. I've encountered that. And here's story A, and here's story B, and here's story C. To the point where it's like, I can't even imagine life now without the Holy Spirit. Yet at the same time, still filled with an awe and a wonder of the reality that the God of the universe wants to make himself known in such a way, he wants to manifest himself in such a way where there's a living, vibrant relationship. And then that should never get old. Never take it for granted. Always fill us with a childlike wonder and a hunger for, Lord, may I encounter more of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for that you're real. Thank you that you are so real in my life that it's undeniable. You're the realest relationship in my life. Yet, thank you that there's always more. There's more. There's enough of you to blow our minds for the rest of life and eternity, frankly. May we always be hungry for more of the Spirit. Let's go to this text here in Acts chapter 2. Yeah, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. So these 120 at that point. This is all after 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry and his life and death and the resurrection that came, the shock, the persecution that he just got tortured and killed. That weeded out all these crowds. And the ones who remained, who were still dedicated, trusting him, praying, unified together, believing that he was the Messiah, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit promised, 120 gathered, praying regularly. It says, in the day of Pentecost arrived, they're all together in one place. Suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear each of us here in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own language, in our own tongues, the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them, saying, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, the other apostles, lifted his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." It's 9:00 in the morning. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Peter, at that point, is quoting Joel chapter 2, an Old Testament prophecy about this era of grace, this new covenant to come, that the last days, that's this whole new covenant from this moment forward. We're in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So in God's eyes, the last days is not our last days. It's this last new covenant before Christ returns, when he's going to send his Holy Spirit and obliterate the boundaries. It is now male and female. It is now servants. It is now old and young. I mean, all these former boundaries of class and gender and race and ethnicity, they're just obliterated in this new covenant. The Holy Spirit of God is going to pour out on all people. All people. That is God's heart. that as those who call upon the name of Jesus to be saved, the Spirit of God will be poured out on all. So that direct connection with heaven, so that people can prophesy. That simply means to hear, like Jesus said, hear the heart of the Father and say what God is saying, say what God is doing, say what God wants to do on the earth. He will give visions and dreams. He's going to connect us to his heart like never before, so that we can then be empowered to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, confident in who he is and what he's doing, filled with the power of the Spirit, to go out in boldness and represent Jesus. And so Peter's saying, that's what's happening right now. So they each were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues of the listeners who were there. If you notice in the story, there was people gathered for the Feast of Weeks that we now call Pentecost. It was one of the Jewish festivals where they celebrate some awesome thing that God did. And so the Jews had made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so they're from scattered. You heard all those countries and locations. And the idea is that the tongues of fire descended and rested upon them, and they just started speaking, and they were speaking in the tongues of the gathered, so that people from all across the world were saying, we're hearing about Jesus in our native language, yet how is this possible? These are the uneducated Galileans. So Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, was doing a miracle, empowering them to be his witnesses. So they were emboldened to preach. They were effective in their preaching. All of it demonstrates what Jesus was talking about. This supernatural power of God that comes to us, and it's above normal. It's the promise pouring out of the Spirit. All flesh can prophesy. They can have visions. They can have dreams. Supernatural things will become normal. The extraordinary will become normal in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be ever hungry for the Holy Spirit. Let us hunger for that life where we're not just going through on our own strength. We're not just holding on to a set of abstract beliefs and practices where we're not really sure if we actually know God. And we're not actually sure if God is with us. And we're not actually sure if we can be powerful people that represent God to the world in a supernatural, beyond our own strength way. And that's what we see at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fall to do all that, to confirm and affirm that he is real, living, vibrant, personal, powerful. And he wants to fill us up in a way that beyond our own strength, we can represent Jesus with boldness to the world around us. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing he's doing. Part of that, though, is the extraordinary becomes normal. Let me just give a couple examples of the last week here. One phrase that we've used before that I think is important and good is we want to learn to become naturally supernatural. Where the extraordinary, where it's that clear, this couldn't have happened without God, just becomes normal. It just becomes a natural way of life. So there's stories, if you've been with us, stories abound, but I'll say just from this week, a few. So my dad's up there right now talking to the youth, and he's given his message or recap, and they're digging into about this message about what are you worth? And he shares in that message very, very honestly, very vulnerably some of his own struggles as a junior high and high schooler of where does his worth come from? And a little bit of the reality of, you know, being in a big family and having older brothers and sisters who were excelling in sports and excelling as brainiacs, and he wasn't doing great in either one of those. And so he had those insecurities of, you know, where does my worth come from? Even as a kid, you know, and do my parents think I'm valuable? Would they be proud of me? And so we're there Wednesday night, and we're doing our pre-brief where we pray together, and as a team, we have a little time where the speaker shares, here's what we're going to talk about, and then we pray for the speaker, pray for the night. And so we go through all that, and we pray, and good, solid, you know, prayer time. And then Micah, our youth pastor, one co-pastor with his wife Alicia, Micah over here on the left says something as soon as the prayer is over. He just makes kind of this strange little phrase, declaration. He's like, all right, onward and upward. And we're like, immediately it caught my eye because I'm around Micah all the time. And I'm like, I have never heard you say that. I'm like, what did you say? And he's like, I don't even know. He's like, that was just, it came to me and I just said it, onward and upward. And my dad heard it and he's like, what? That was my dad's dad. That was his phrase. That was his go-to phrase about life all the time. That was his declaration, onward and upward. That's my grandpa. That's my dad's dad. Micah's like never, he's like, I don't know if I've ever said that phrase in my life. But as we were finishing praying, I felt, almost like I wasn't even controlled. Like it was just on my tongue and then out of my mouth, onward and upward. And it was immediately, it was like, I know, this is our good Heavenly Father giving my own dad that little affirmation of I'm here and I'm with you and I'm proud of you. And you know what? I'm going to use your dad's favorite phrase to kind of put a little icing on the cake that your own earthly father would be incredibly proud of you. As you're about to share your testimony of your life, you're both your earthly father and your heavenly father are incredibly proud of you. I will go to my grave believing that's exactly what was happening. That's this supernatural, beyond normal, extraordinary. But it's like once you get to know the heart of God, you're like, oh, I feel you. You're that kind, God. And then God went to the next layer. When it was over, as we are not debriefing yet. We're in the small groups with the guys. And we're concluding the night. And Ryan, our worship leader, who's also part of the youth team, leads worship for them, is doing a fabulous job. He was in charge of closing the night in prayer. And oddly enough, he goes, you know what? I'm feeling we're just going to close with this simple prayer. So this is a guys group. All the high school guys are up there. We're talking, debriefing, processing what's going on and good discussion. How do we close the night? Maybe we should have some long prayer. He goes, I feel like we're supposed to just close with the serenity prayer. Like, I don't know if you guys know it. I'll just say it real quick. He goes, something like this, and I don't know what super was. Said, Lord, grant me the serenity to, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Something like that. Beautiful prayer. And you know what? It was on a freaking magnet on my grandma's fridge our entire life. It's the only prayer she ever prayed. And I've never heard Ryan say that ever. And he's like, I don't ever say this. I've never heard him. We've been around a lot. We prayed a lot. He just felt. Is it a coincidence? And now that's the bookend of the night. So for my own dad, who's doing a message that in large part is about parental approval, you have his own earthly father's favorite phrase and his own earthly mother's favorite prayer as the bookends of the night. I'm 100% convinced that's just our good Heavenly Father in the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking. Yeah, Jesus is awesome. Just to be for my dad, just for my dad, to be powerful, personal, present, real, to say, I see you, I know you, I love you, I'm proud of you, I know how to encourage you, I know what you need to hear. And it's that extraordinary but undeniable presence through the Holy Spirit where he's leading. So both Micah and Ryan, they're just hearing the heart of the Father and speaking it out. And they even didn't even know. And so God had to know that I was going to be there and my dad was going to be there to line it up. Because frankly, my dad missed it the first time. I'm like, did you hear that? He's like, oh my gosh. But it's like, no, man, I know the heart of the, that's why I got fired up. I know the heart of the Father, and this is him just loving you. This is him just saying he's proud of you as his son. That's, man, more of that. Is he God just a belief? Well, I believe, but is that even a belief? Is Jesus real? He wants to be here. Or another one, on the same day, the ride home. So I'm with my oldest son, 15-year-old, and he's with one of his buddies from school. And so they were there that night, and I'm driving them, dropping off his buddy at home. And this kid wants to bring up something that God did so clearly in his life at youth group a couple years ago, after we were watching a documentary on how God, through the Holy Spirit, loves to heal physically. And so this kid comes out, so we make it available, and we say, hey, if any of you are struggling with anything physically, what we've seen, at least in this documentary, and obviously lines up with God's word, is that God cares. God loves to heal physically as just a demonstration of his love and goodness for you personally, like a good father and mother would for all of us. And so he comes outside, and he's like, would you pray for me? He's like, I have broke my arm twice, and it's growing back wrong. I have x-rays where it's growing out. The doctors think it's just going to keep growing to the point where it might pierce the skin. I mean, it's growing wrong. And so because of that, my left arm is really weak, and I barely use it. I can barely use it. It causes pain. So, okay, yeah, let's pray. So we prayed just a simple prayer of welcoming the Holy Spirit to be present and to heal. And God can handle this, but, like, you know, I was shocked when it works. I was surprised. And that, see, God can handle. Help, you know, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. But after we prayed, and this young man was saying, he's feeling his arm, and he's saying, my bone is it's like gone. It's shrunk. It's different. It's not there. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what God does. You know, it's like, well, test it out, man. See if you're stronger. So, you know, it was so hilarious. He tested out. So the whole rest of the night, he's literally carrying around one of those big trash cans, just like doing bicep curls, just showing off. Look, guys, my left arm is strong for the first time in years. And so he brought this back up to say, do you know that we've been to the doctor since then? I just want to thank you guys so much. That was so amazing. It was so incredible. And we've been to the doctor since then, and we have the x-rays. If you want them sometime, I'll bring them. I'm like, yes, I want the x-rays. He's like, the bone is now gone. It's back normal. So we have an x-ray of a bone growing in the wrong place and then a bone fixing itself. It's like, yes. And so he wanted to bring that up. This is the first time I've seen him in a while of, man, that, he's like, that changed my life. And I think the biggest thing that changed his life is just him experiencing that God is real and powerful and personal and present. It's not just a bunch of abstract ideas that you got to hold on to and hope it works, you know, when you die. One other quick one. A man shared with me recently, just a couple weeks back, that we were at Ignite, which is our once a month Saturday morning men's gathering for goodness. And he came with me afterwards. So we, in the Ignite morning, our message, if you will, was a very simple time of just meditating on Scripture. I think it was Psalm 27, where we just took it slow. I read it a few times, just not just blast through it, but hey, let's just soak in this. Take a word, take a phrase, ask the Holy Spirit to bring out something and speak to you about it. Great time. So this guy comes up to me afterwards, and he's kind of like, you know, eyes wide open, a little teary-eyed. He's like, hey, I just want to tell you, like that, and he came up to me the next day after Sunday church. He's like, that was weird and cool and powerful. He said, when we did that, he said, I had this vision of this light of Christ that during the whole time that I couldn't hear anything else, I couldn't even pay attention. He said, when I was praying and you were reading those scriptures, there was this vision of this light. He's like, I never had anything like that before. He's like, but I know what it was. It was like Jesus is risen and he's alive. And it was doing something in me. And now I can feel it. Now when I go out, it's with me. And here it was what got me. He's like, but the best part is I feel hope again. And that was very significant because he had experienced several tragic losses in his life. Death in the family. Like unexplainable, just bad, tragic stuff. And so his hope level was you know, understandably just, oh, it hurts. That's the junk of life. And so he, in prayerful meditation on God's word, I believe, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit to do something supernatural that no form of consolation and comfort, I mean, we should do all those things, show that empathy and that compassion and the hugs and the tears, but there's something supernatural. Even we read it last week in Romans 15, 13 about hope. Where is it? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that, watch this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In this walk with God, in true Christianity, hope is supposed to be a supernatural reality. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on, what does it say? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may overflow in hope. That's supernatural. It's saying you haven't just convinced yourself, you haven't just had people be nice to you, all those things, you know, are great. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we abound in hope. Even hope is meant to be an extraordinary reality, a supernatural reality. Not something we muster up, something that by an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it overflows. It just happens. So I loved this guy's testimony. He wasn't even trying to prove it. He just said, you know, the best thing about it is that I feel hope again. Wow. Powerful, personal, present. I think we're going to pause there, and we're going to worship. Let's have the worship team come back up. And I want to encourage us, guys, we just have a couple songs that we're going to finish. The encouragement is this. May we never lose a hunger for more of the Holy Spirit. May it always be this childlike wonder and excitement. Get out of your way there, Ryan. That we would gather regularly, individually, and like the original church, just gathered in unity, hungry, saying, I don't want to live life on my own strength. I don't want to live life just in an abstract set of beliefs. I don't want to live life as an orphan, powerless, lost, confused. I want to live life with that gift, that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in me, with me, upon me, around me, and in ever-increasing measure. So my encouragement for us today, and as we worship to close our time, may it be a prayer right now. May it be a prayer individually and corporately that says, more of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you that there's always more. As I'm sharing some of these stories today, this feels foreign and sounds like, oh, I don't know if I've ever even encountered the Holy Spirit. Then say, Holy Spirit, would you come upon me and fill me up? I want to know you. I want to be connected to God in that way. I want to be empowered to join you on that mission. I want to be able to hear the heart of the Father regularly. I don't want to live as an orphan anymore. Then pray that. Or if you've experienced the Holy Spirit genuinely 50 times or 100 times or 1,000 times, there should always be that childlike wonder of, but there's more. More, Lord. More, Lord. More for me, more for our church family, and more for our community. Amen? Let's pray and let's worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the reality of the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the beautiful promises that you made, that you would not leave us as orphans, but you would send the Holy Spirit to be with us. We thank you for that. And we ask today on this Pentecost Sunday where we can look back and celebrate what many call the birth of the church, where you took it to that next level, where you equipped your church to be connected to the heart of the Father and to be filled up with the power of heaven to represent you to the world. We celebrate that. We honor you. We say thank you, God, that you haven't left us as orphans. Thank you that you thought highly enough of us to include us in your plan to represent you to the world. And so we come once again like those first believers, and we just say, may your Holy Spirit come. May your Holy Spirit fall. May your Holy Spirit dwell. May your Holy Spirit remain. May your Holy Spirit empower us to represent you to the world, Jesus. May your Holy Spirit connect us to the heart of the Father. May your Holy Spirit set us free from being orphans lost in this world. We love you, God. We thank you and praise you that you are not a God that's just far away, aloof, uninterested, but that you're right here. You're wanting to be powerful, personal, present in each of us and for all of us. Holy Spirit, come.
I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance like David.